Okay, so it's Chris again and Trevor again.
Absolutely, here I am.
And where are we?
We're in Afar, on top of the oldest lava lake / volcano in existence.
So when you're saying lava lake, it is a live volcano?
It's an active volcano which has in its crater a lake of molten basaltic lava. Incredible.
It's one of the most mind-boggling things that I've seen in ever, pretty much. And it's hot and it's sulfur smelly, but the photos, the video is just, and just being there, I mean, experiencing that, like a look into the heart of the earth, pretty much, is just amazing. Now we're sitting here in a little shelter hut, a few minutes away from the crater, in a safe distance, I would say, and having dinner. Now, this afternoon we ran into someone. Trevor, could you tell us a few words, and then we'll actually talk to him.
Yes, we ran into a guy called Philip Briggs, who coincidentally has written the guidebook to Ethiopia.
I think it's the guidebook.
It is the guidebook to Ethiopia, as far as I'm concerned. And we just bumped into him as he's updating the Ethiopian edition.
Let's ask himself. So he's sitting right next to me. Oh, sorry, did I keep you from a sip of wine there?
No, go ahead.
So, Philip, you did write the Ethiopia guide, pretty much.
I'm glad someone thinks of it that way. Yeah, it's the Brat Guide to Ethiopia. I've been doing... I first wrote it in 1995. And it's now going to its seventh edition. So if nothing else, it's been around a long time and guided or misguided a lot of people in that time.
So misguided, really. So there are... who's the target audience for that guide?
Oh, with a country like Ethiopia, anyone who wants to come here. We really cover it from what little upmarket accommodation there is and from doing tours to backpacking and $2 hotels, which still exist here. They're awful, but if that's what you want to do. Local transport, hiking off the beaten track, and it's a country with, I think as you guys are finding out here, with incredible off the beaten track potential. It's endless amount of things you can do here. It's certainly not the, people have the idea of it of a just sort of nothing deserty kind of place, and it's the opposite. It's an amazingly varied country.
So why Ethiopia?
I don't know.
What's the thing that captured you, that caught your interest about Ethiopia?
Well, I was actually 20 years ago. I'd already written a couple of books for the publisher, and they suggested Ethiopia as the next guide. And I was like most people, my reaction was like they've basically gone mad. What the hell? Would anyone want to go to Ethiopia? There's just a lot of hungry people there.
Yeah, but the famine is kind of the big thing. In my mind, that's the biggest thing that's got stuck. And I think in the mind of most Germans, I don't know about the rest of the world, but that is kind of the big thing. But it's quite different now.
Well, I think it is. Ethiopia's got it's better known now. When I was first here in '94, it was only 3 years after that whole sort of the Mengistu, the Derg regime collapsed, and that had been a extremely unpleasant government. The present government who'd taken over really liberalised the country, and I mean. When I first came, the biggest tourist attraction in the country, Lalibela, there was me and one other tourist there. Now, if you go, there'd be 100 to 200 on a busy day. So Ethiopia is becoming known for other things. But still, I would say most people, if you say, I'm going to Ethiopia for a holiday, they're going to think you're a bit strange. It's not a normal destination.
Trevor, how does that work? Do you get the same reaction when you tell people you go to Ethiopia?
Yeah.
You did actually live here.
Well, I lived here for 4 years, and the reaction once again this year when I said I was going back was one of almost disbelief. I think the media does a lot of harm to places like Ethiopia, and yet for me it is one of the most incredible countries that I've ever travelled to. And I would fully endorse what Philip has just said about the country. It is diverse, it is incredible, and it's a place that is off the beaten track.
It is, and I was not sure what to expect, but coming here and having seen so many things so far, I'm convinced. That was actually not that hard. It is an amazing country. So, Philip, are there any highlights for you that make Ethiopia what it is?
There are many, and so actually following on, because I answered your first question negative way, which is why I was shocked at the idea of a guide to Ethiopia.
You didn't really want to go, right?
Didn't get on to the next bit. You know, then I started reading up about it and started realizing it had this very, very long, under-researched and fascinating history, which is reflected in a whole number of historical sites. And basically, the history goes back to, according to legend, the Queen of Sheba and King Solomon and their illegitimate child, who started up a whole dynasty in a place called Aksum. And although, you know, the legends are probably more myth than history, the fact is, a city like Aksum is about 2,500 years old. It has the largest stela, the largest obelisks, more than 30 meters high, built created out of one solid block of granite, I think, in the world. There are rock-hewn churches, something like 300 or 400 rock-hewn churches in the country, which some of them probably converted from pre-Christian temples, which would mean they would be 1,500 to 2,000 years old. Most of them at least 800 years old. Most of them still in active use. Most of them are still used by Ethiopian Orthodox Christians as where they go to on Sunday to pray. They're carved into the rock, so someone's got amazing paintings or just the walk. In many cases, you walk half a day to reach these churches, just in these remote highland areas. And then the other thing about Ethiopia that the people don't expect, and I didn't expect, and that tends to blow your mind, is that it's a wet, green, lush country. It's one of the most fertile countries in Africa. Addis Ababa gets twice as much rainfall as London.
I had this desert thing in my mind, you know?
Yeah, that's what people think. And it's, you know, as I say, Addis Ababa, the capital, gets twice as much rainfall as London or Amsterdam. You know, if you go there in the rainy season, it's getting 300 millimeters a month. And the reason there have been famines historically is rainfall failures in marginal areas. Most of the country is these green highlands above 2,000 meters, covered in cultivation, with these cultures that go back to, you know, the earliest Muslim cultures, some of the earliest Christian cultures in the world. And it's just an absolutely fascinating place from so many points of view, really.
So at what edition is your book right now?
It's in the 6th and it's going into the 7th.
You are working on the 7th right now.
Yeah.
What is there to add? Haven't you seen everything already?
Well, the first thing with the guidebook is, unfortunately, you need to go and look at all the hotels and restaurants again, because they close and open and change their price and build new rooms or, you know, go downhill. So
you're being sent to travel. So that's such a horrible thing, to be sent around to travel the world.
That is unfortunate.
How do you get that job?
That's unfortunately what a lot of the updating is about, though. It's about guide, just practicalities and.
But then, can't you just give him a call?
Right, yeah. If you speak very good American, okay, and you can find a phone number that works.
Okay, so infrastructure has a bit of a few challenges sometimes.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I did the first update trip for this edition a couple of months back. Already half the websites that I typed up, you know, I put them in the internet. Given these websites on someone's card or, you know, it's painted up on the hotel sign and you type it in and there is no website. Email addresses just bounce back at you, they're not known, and so it's a country where either you must go on an organized tour and do it that way, or be prepared for a very random travel experience. I think
so you have to be prepared to improvise, for sure.
You have to be, yeah.
But that's for me what also makes it lovely. The amount of improvisation is still bearable. I kind of feel like, yes, you get around the most things and most of the things work as expected, but then there will be some unforeseen things. But I think that's kind of the, well, as a German, I would say that's the salt in the soup. Mm-hmm. That's what, I don't know, is there an idiom in English that would cover that?
English/Irish,
Trevor?
I'm not sure there is, you know. The Irish are probably beyond that.
The proof is in the pudding or something like that. Could that be?
Anyway, so are there any places that you haven't covered yet that you want to add, or is it really just about the updating?
No, I mean, I do try and a couple of days ago I visited a couple of sites. I haven't been to a waterfall near Mekelle, and I haven't actually been up this volcano before. This has opened up to tourism really in the last few years.
Isn't that cool?
It's amazing. It's a stunning place. It's definitely, you know, it's gone straight into my top 10 places in Africa list, and that's
I shot video and taking
photos of African travel, so it's a fantastic place, and definitely a great place to go.
Okay, so any other places that are there? Any places you would recommend to a traveler who is a bit more adventurous?
Well, I think everyone would regard Lalibela as a must-see, which is the main cluster of rock-hewn churches. There's about 13 there. They are, as a group, the finest examples of the genre, and it's also just an amazing setting. It's really worth visiting some of the more obscure churches, just because, although they're less individually impressive, most of them are still very beautiful, and they still have more of a real rural feel with slightly demented old priests and you know, the old mad nun running around the place and things like that. Then Axum, you know, for people who are into history, is, I think, it's not off the beaten track, but it's really worth visiting. There are a couple of other sites being excavated more recently, like Yiha, another one I found the other day called Adikawa, which will be new for this edition, which has a sacrificial altar at it, which must be 2,800 years old.
What?
And it would be linked to the whole Judaic Queen of Sheba, whatever the people, no one's quite sure who these people were, but pre-Axum, pre-Christian culture in Ethiopia. And off the beaten track, you know, the hiking here, the walking, the scene, wherever you go, the scenery is just fantastic. It's just there's dry mountains, there's wet mountains, there's forested mountains, there's cultivated mountains, but it's just never boring. There's, you know, volcanoes like this. There's inactive volcanoes. It's just a stunning country scenically. The Rift Valley Lakes are another great area for bird watchers and more recreational. And then there's also, for wildlife lovers, I mean, there's about five or six large mammal species that are endemic to Ethiopia. Ethiopian wolf being probably the best known, of which there's only about 400 in the world.
We've seen oryx.
Oryx is not endemic to Ethiopia, but they're...
Yeah, but we've seen them here.
Yeah, well, okay. And yeah, oryx are great. They've got nice straight horns. Ethiopian wolves. They're these funny little rodent-eating wolves. They live at altitudes of above 4,000 metres, mostly. And there's a park called Bali National Park where you're almost guaranteed to see...
How high does Ethiopia go?
I think the highest point is about 4,500 meters, something like that. I'm not very good, at that. So he's a geographer; he would know.
No, Mr. Geography, Trevor.
Ras Dashen at 4,600 meters in the Simien Mountains is the highest point, and the lowest is actually pretty close to where we are now.
How low is that? That was a surprise for me too.
I believe it's 120 meters below sea level.
Below sea level.
Below sea level. Which is why it's quite hot.
Yeah, it is a very hot place. So, Philip, if anyone would love to get the guide, where would they find that?
You can get it online, bratguides.com, B-R-A-D-T. You can get it through Amazon or anything like that, but Brat Guides is the best one to get it through. You can order it online there.
All right, very cool. Any last words you want to say?
Come to Ethiopia. It's a lovely place.
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks, Trevor.